This morning we want to continue this series in a supernatural Christmas, continuing to look at this theme of joy. And I want us to turn to a passage where it speaks of how God was working and bringing joy, even to a baby in the womb who kind of leapt for joy. So let's come and read together from Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45. And if you don't have a Bible, just raise a hand and Peter, one of the other stewards, Wendy's going to bring some round to you. So Luke chapter 1, verses 41 to 45. Mary has gone to visit her kind of distant relatives in, this is what happens as she appears. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Let me read it again. It's not a long reading, but it just gives it a chance for us to dwell and think about it. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Should we pray together? Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you for the amazing way you work. Lord, we want to thank you for this word of scripture that we've just read. We thank you for your presence, your nearness. Thank you for the blessing that flows to, Lord, so many lives because of what Jesus has done. And we now invite you, Holy Spirit, just come, breathe upon us, meet with us, help me, help us. For we ask in your wonderful name. Amen. You've probably picked up that a big theme for our service this morning is joy. Joy. I wonder when you first started hearing that that was something we were going to be talking about, whether that was something you felt, oh, yes, we need so much more of that as a nation, as a city. Maybe even in your own family or life, you can spot the need for just joy. Found it so wonderful what Amanda, you and Paul were sharing with us, because there are all kinds of things which can cause our lives to feel like they don't experience the joy that we hope for. Maybe there's been a difficult experience even this week or this year, and things that can weigh us down. But the Bible, as Amanda so helpfully illustrated with those balloons, speaks of a joy that keeps us buoyant no matter what the circumstances are going through, no matter what's happening in life. In fact, the Bible talks of us being able to trade even our mourning for joy, for gladness. And so there's something wonderful that the Bible has to share with us and for us, to give us a joy like no other, even this Christmas time. And the Bible says that the key to accessing this joy is being filled with the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit that Amanda so wonderfully illustrated with that picture of the kind of helium coming in, filled with something that is completely different than what the world might fill us with. And in our story, Elizabeth is filled with this joy. And not just you sense her joy, but as I said, there's joy in her baby in the womb. There's joy that kind of spills out into Mary. And the very next passage is her breaking out into song. And joy is just marking this passage as the Spirit is at work. You know, one of the things that I've found great joy in this past term is that one of my friends has been doing Alpha with me, and the Alpha course is a fantastic course, and we both came along to the Holy Spirit Away Day, and this was one of the beginnings of one of the videos on the Holy Spirit Away Day that just again helps us discover more of who this Holy Spirit is and the joy that he brings and the transformation in the way he works. So here we go. I think we got this little video. Thanks, Ben.
Deep pursuit of need.
Oh gosh, trying to narrow that down.
I don't know.
Be happy with what you have.
It's valuable, man. That's all you got.
Money? Career?
TV. I have no TV. I can't leave you.
Love!
Hey, love. To be loved.
Food. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There's a lot of sex, food.
Love. Affection.
I'll still stick with food. Affection is second.
Love. To feel loved.
I think it would be love.
When I do find out, I'll let you know.
Love is the greatest thing in the world. Love is what the Christian faith is all about. If you ask me for a synonym for the Holy Spirit, the word I would choose is love. Love is the very purpose of our lives. What the Holy Spirit does and brings to our lives is all about love. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. Paul says if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes to people who are already Christians in Ephesus and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The original Greek he uses there is in the present continuous tense. It means go on being filled over and over and over again. So it's possible to be a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Spirit. I sometimes use this analogy. We have an old gas boiler with a pilot light. Pilot light's always on, but when the heat comes on, the boiler goes. And some Christians are kind of like pilot light Christians, and other Christians are kind of Christians. And you can tell the difference when you meet one.
It's true. You can tell the difference when you meet one. And Elizabeth was a Christian. There was something about her where it was like, whoa, look what's taken hold of this woman. And we're in this series called A Supernatural Christmas, because the same Spirit that was at work that first Christmas is at work in our world today. And my longing for us this morning is that we wouldn't be pilot-like Christians. Amen? We would be Christians who are, and people go, whoa, look at them. See what God is doing in their life and through them. And I really believe that that is possible for each one of us here this morning. Wouldn't that be amazing this Christmas? If maybe you go into it not just with a kind of, I don't know, dread about what the new year will hold or the complexities of some of the family dynamics over Christmas, or maybe thinking about your own situation. We can so often get preoccupied with self-pity, but there is something that you are filled with of the power and the Spirit of God that gives you a joy and a love and a heart for others that is just like, whoa, look at this person. And I pray that God would be moving by his Spirit this morning, touching and filling us. So let me ask, as we just start this morning, why? Why does God want to fill us with his Spirit? Why would God want to do something like that in us and in you and me as we come this morning? Well, let's look at Elizabeth. Why did God fill Elizabeth with her Spirit, with God's Spirit? What was God doing there? Why did God work in that way? Why did he want to work in that way in filling Elizabeth with his Spirit? Why do you think he did that? Just think for a moment. Maybe look at the passage. I think this wasn't just about Elizabeth. Don't you think? I think God wanted to do something this moment of filling Elizabeth with his spirit for the sake of somebody else. Someone who is going to be massively encouraged and blessed by this encounter with Elizabeth. Who else did God have in mind when he filled Elizabeth with his spirit? Who else? Mary. And this, guys, is how God works time and again throughout the New Testament as people are filled with his spirit. It is not just about them. It is about what God wants to do through them to touch the lives of others. This is one of the big misconceptions that I think we can have about the Holy Spirit, is we can think, oh God, please fill me with the Holy Spirit, and we want it to be all for us, for our sake, for what we might get from it. For surely, yes, it does, and it will have blessed Elizabeth, and it does bless us when we are filled with the Spirit. It does give us a joy, but it is not all about us. God wants to work in us for the sake of others. And that is so often when we see in Scripture that God's heart is so much bigger than just for us to feel the joy. He wants those around us to experience more of his joy as well. So this Christmas time, why might God want to fill us here with his Spirit? Because this city is full of people who need to experience something of his love and his good news, and something of how God has been at work, and that there's joy that they can have even in the midst of what they're going through. And God wants to fill us so that we can take something of that good news to others. Do you notice that when Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit, it says so, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leapt, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 42, in a loud voice, she exclaimed. And then she speaks this amazing word of blessing. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. And one of the things that happens when we're filled with the Spirit is that God gives us a kind of boldness, a kind of, whoa, I want to speak about what God has done. Look what he's done for me. Look what he can do for you. And he gives us a boldness that even the when Pentecost came and God poured out his Spirit, that was one of the signs. There are ways that God works in our lives by his Spirit in all kinds of different ways. But this is one of the ways that seems to be common across when God works by his Spirit. He gives people a kind of holy boldness. So we got Acts 4:31 up there. After they prayed in Acts 4, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And then can you read this bit with me? And they were... Yeah, they spoke the word of God boldly. There was something that happened that they were like, oh, God's working in us by his Spirit. And part of the sign of that was that God wanted to use them to speak and touch the lives of others. Now, brothers and sisters, we've been singing about some amazing things, even in this service so far, let alone over this month of December. And many of us have been here for many years, and we know some amazing truths about God's love and about this one who came to save us, the one who's Emmanuel, the one who can help us, that Jesus is Lord. We're not hiding it in here, but out there are people, and they just don't know. They know nothing. Nothing about this power and love of God. And God wants to fill us so that we can go and speak into our families, into our neighborhoods, into those workplaces, which is always weird. I remember when I worked as an engineer at Ricardo, and you come in around Christmas time or in between Christmas and New Year, and maybe there's not many of you in the office, and some of you are wishing you didn't have to be there, and a chance to just speak of hope and light and love. And there's something that God wants to do in us for the sake of others. But it is also something that does touch and change our lives. It's something wonderful here. Do you see that there is, as she's filled with the Spirit, not just a fresh kind of boldness to speak, to bring what is it must have been such an amazing encouragement, prophetic word here, because she kind of finds the God revealing things. Remember, Mary was only 3 months pregnant. It probably wasn't visible. She probably has not sent word ahead or anything like that. And yet this woman, Elizabeth, kind of has a prophetic insight that Mary is going to have a baby, not just any baby, but the mother of her Lord. Look what she says. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I mean, Mary must have gone, wow, this is so encouraging because God said that to me. And now through an angel that then disappeared, and I've been thinking for the last 3 months, you know, all about this, and it's been a really tough time. And yet now I'm hearing it from someone else that God is also at work. And whether it's a boldness to witness or a boldness to speak a prophetic word into someone's life, a word that can actually make such a difference. I know times when people have spoken prophetic words into my life, it has been so helpful. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And so many times when a prophetic word comes, it can just, I've seen it happen not just in my life, but in the lives of others. It can lift people and think, wow, God just knows who I am, knows something about my life. And it can minister so powerfully to people. That's just one of the gifts that God can give to people as they're filled with His Spirit. Sometimes it can just help us in our prayer. You've got on your seats, and we're going to be talking more in these coming weeks about a prayer week that we're going to have at the beginning of the year from the 5th to the 12th of January, a time to seek God and pray. I find when people are filled with the Spirit, not just do they have a boldness to speak to others, but a kind of fresh boldness and joy in the presence of the Lord. And we see here, Elizabeth, this joy that comes out. She seeks this word of blessing. Blessed literally means, you know, happy. If you look at the Good News translation, it's sometimes just simply translates this way, happy are you. And happy is this child that you'll bear, this kind of sense of God's favor resting on them. And then she also has this baby who's kind of, and she kind of somehow knows. This is amazing. Look at verse 44. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. She kind of can discern that there's something that the Spirit is doing that is just filling not just her, but her child with joy. I don't know if you've ever felt a baby kick inside a pregnant person's stomach, pregnant woman's stomach. And, you know, that sense of like, whoa. But somehow Elizabeth knows this baby is leaping for joy because Jesus is near. You know, when Jesus is near, when you know He's near, it is amazing. In your presence, Becca said right at the start, is fullness of joy. And Jesus brings a joy into our lives that, again, is a hallmark of the Spirit, because we suddenly realize, oh, wow, God, you love us. You're here for us. Those amazing things that we were hearing at the start, to know that we are loved by God. You know, one of my kind of significant moments in my life was a moment in December 2005. Many of you were here in the church at the time, but loads of you, praise God, have joined the church since that time. And it was just the month after we had had our previous minister go to lead a church in the U.S. He left to lead a church there, and we were kind of in an interim where we were looking for a new senior pastor. I had ruled myself out, saying, I don't think I can do that. Don't feel qualified, don't feel able. I was the acting pastor while we were looking for someone else. And it was quite an overwhelming time. I felt pretty inadequate. The church has loads of wonderful people, but also loads of things that we were doing and loads of needs, and the city has loads of needs. And I thought I was just, Laura and I, we just had our first child. We were, I was pretty young, and I'd never done kind of formal training. And I just thought, Lord, I can't do this. Help. Help. Have you had times like that? Times when you're like, God, I feel overwhelmed and inadequate. And we were coming up to a prayer week in January, and I was so like, just knew that this prayer week was something we needed to do as a church, that I was like just pressing into God in prayer, even in December, just saying, God, we so need you. I need you. And we've not just got a prayer week coming up this week. We've been in a season like that as a church, where we've been in a season of prayer and fasting, saying, God, we just need you. We need your help. It's all about you. Come and speak to us. Come and lead us. And you know, I went to visit one of my mentors that week in December 2005, and he just said, would you like me to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit? I was the acting pastor of the church. So, but you know, one of the things, whatever role you've got, if you think maybe I've been a Christian a long time, or you think you're just new, you just arrived for the first time visiting today, if someone offers to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit, I encourage you, go for it. And I just said, and people have done this before, I just said, yeah, please. And he prayed for me, and I just felt God fill me, and it went like that boiler. I found God just gave me a new joy in him, a new kind of boldness in prayer. I found that one of the things, the gifts that I'd asked for many times in my life before, but this was the time he happened to choose to give it. He gave me that gift of tongues where I could just, when I didn't know how to pray, things that I knew were on my heart for people or for the church or for situations, I found I could just pour out my heart to God. And he gave me a kind of fresh boldness to speak towards others about him. And I tell you what, it was one of those times where it didn't really matter how church was going. And I was just overwhelmed with the sense that God loved me and that he just had poured his love into my heart so that I could pour that love into the lives of others. It was amazing. And yet that was December 2005. And I don't know if you noticed, but one of the things that Nicky Gumbel talked about there is that in Ephesians 5:18, it talks about go on being filled. Here's the passage. He compares it actually. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And this is a time of year where loads of people end up doing that. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And this is this present continuous. Be filled and go on being filled. Let God fill you with his Spirit over and over again. And I encourage you, keep asking that. It's become one of my kind of daily prayers. And like last week, as I came into the candlelight, I'm thinking, God, I can't do this. Please, would you fill me? Would you help me? And he fills me and enables me, not for my sake, but for the sake of others. And even again, yesterday, I was praying on the seafront and said, God, please, would you fill me? And it's like God just gives a joy and a peace as we trust him. And again, today, Lord, would you fill us? Do it, Lord, for our sake, but for the sake of others. Why does God want to fill us? Because he wants to use us. He wants to pour his love into our hearts and pour his love through our lives. And so let me ask just secondly and lastly, how? How does God fill us? How does God fill us as we come to him? Well, I found this again so helpful. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you've got a tea or coffee after the service, and this is particularly true early in the mornings in our house when everyone's kind of running around, or you know, we're desperately trying to hold on to a cup of coffee, that if you hold on to a cup of coffee and someone knocks to you, what's the danger? What's in the cup is going to spill out, and if it's hot coffee, it's like, whoa! And I tell you, one of the challenging things in our lives is that often we are not filled with good things, we're filled with toxic things, that if they spill out, people are going to get hurt. Anger. We get knocked, and what spills out burns people. We get knocked, and what spills out is kind of a greed. It's all about us. We can be full of pride. Lust. Self-pity, bitterness. And then when we go through a challenging time or something like that, what happens is those things manifest themselves. When we get knocked, what spills out is what we're full of. I want to ask this Christmas time, what are you full of? Because if we're to be filled with the Spirit of God, if we're to be filled with something that's really going to give us joy, we need to first be emptied of those things that are going to sort of hinder us being able to be filled. We need to be first emptied to be filled. And God wants to do that to us. He encourages us time again in the scripture. He says, repent. Repent. Turn from those things that are going to, like, let that be poured out of our lives. Get rid of it. D.L. Moody, a very famous evangelist, he said this one time. He said, I believe many a man is praying for God to fill him when he is full already of something else. One of the things that we need to just recognize is that need for our lives to be emptied of the rubbish so that we can be full of the Spirit of God. When Peter preached on Pentecost, an amazing sermon which kind of culminated in these powerful words of Jesus and how it was all about him. And so often the danger of those other things is it becomes all about us. When we remember it's all about Jesus, it's about what he has done, this one who was emptied of himself, of all of his goodness he was emptied so that we could be full of his goodness. The one who had no sin became sin for you and me so that we could become his righteousness. That is the amazing thing. We're full of rubbish so often. Jesus is full of goodness. He empties his goodness into us and he takes our rubbish. It is amazing. And so it's all about Jesus. And as we remember that and we repent and we kind of say, God, yeah, I want to turn from this and I want to turn to you. Look how Peter on the day of Pentecost, it kind of comes to the culmination of his message. He says this. He says, if we go to the Acts 2:1, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Messiah. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, should we read this bit together all the way down? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. There's that repent, turn from the rubbish, be emptied of that, and turn to Christ and believe in him. And baptism is the picture of that. And if you haven't been baptized, encourage you, please come and talk to me and let's find a time where we can help you get baptized, where you can come and it's that place of saying, hey, I want to put my trust in Jesus. It's not about me, it's all about him. And you're under the water, that sign of being reunited, of being identified with Christ and raised to new life. And if you have been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again, but you do need to be filled with the Spirit. You do need to be doing that continuously. And again, I found this so helpful. Here you go. If this is me, kind of, if I manage to get emptied and say, God, I want to turn from everything else, and then I want, God, you to fill me afresh, then literally baptize means to dunk. And so we want to be dunked, God, in the Spirit today. Would you come and fill us with your Spirit? And then you've probably seen me do this stuff before, but this is where we baptize people. I'm sorry, PA guys, I was very careful. But you know, you can then bless people. It's better than coffee. Oh, nice, refreshing. You don't worry. It's like what spills out is love. What spills out is kindness. What spills out, and you can say, oh God, now I need more. Drench again. Guys, we need to be filled. Let God fill you. Come and just be overflowing. Oh, it's so good. You can offer a cup of water. I love this picture as well. Sometimes it's like, similar thing, not a cup this time, but you know, when a sponge that's dry and crusty, maybe you just feel dry and crusty. It's like, you just need that fresh again. And the Spirit comes and surrounds us and it fills us and it just then pours out of our lives. It's filled and it's overflowing. Ah, it's just amazing. And you can minister to people, you can serve. And then you can say, oh, I need more. Fill again. For your family's sake, your neighbor's sake, your children's sake, your parents' sake, come and be filled. Come and be filled to overflowing. You might have boldness to speak to them of the wonder of God's love. You might have boldness again to serve with joy, to, yeah, do the washing up on Christmas Day, to have people round and minister and minister and minister, to be able to keep pouring into the lives of others. You know, you don't have to be a super perfect, mature Christian. None of us are. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. He was emptied so that we could be filled. He poured his life through his death on the cross. That is the good news. The Savior has come. And Jesus, as he taught about the Spirit, he just encouraged us, ask, ask. I love this passage. And, you know, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Sometimes we doubt. We think, will it really, God? Will you really give us? Yeah, he will. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. And everyone who seeks find. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if you ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And you know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not sure about the spirit. Will it be good? What happens? It's your good father. He loves to give good gifts. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Not to those who've got their life all sorted and really been mature Christians for 25 years. No, it's to those who ask. Will you ask? Let's ask God, would you fill us? Will you empty us of the rubbish and fill us with your spirit and your love? You up for that? Should we stand together if you're able? And the band are just going to come forward. We've got a prayer up on the screen here, and I'm going to dare to encourage us to pray it out loud. Pray it all together. And you can have a chance just to read it. It says, I repent of all the rubbish that fills my life that is not from you. I turn to you and believe in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Please fill me with your spirit and with your joy and boldness to speak of you. Thank you, in Jesus' name. And we're going to pray this together. And then as we worship, when we've got more time, I'm going to invite prayer ministry team and elders and deacons just to step out into places in the aisles. One of the things that is just wonderful is so many times in the Bible when people have kind of laid a hand on someone to kind of bless them, that God just does something in that moment. Like I say, you can pray this with me now, please do. But you could also go and just say to someone, hey, I just would love you to pray for this. Or will you just pray for a fresh filling or a gift that you know you got? You know, it's Christmas time. It's our Father. He loves to give good gifts. You might have had a gift that you love for him to give you many times and you've prayed. Just why not this Christmas? Come and ask. Let's pray, though, this together, even now. You will join with me, then let's pray out loud together. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of all the rubbish that fills my life that is not from you. Let's just pause there. Lord, we want to turn from it. Maybe specific things you just need to say, God, yeah, I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to repent of that. I want to be empty of that. And then as we turn from those things, we turn to Jesus. Let's pray together again. I turn to you and believe in Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Please fill me with your spirit, with your joy and boldness to speak of you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say, come, move amongst us. Move amongst us here, but then, Lord, for the sake of others not here, work in power. Lord, as we worship you, as the prayer ministry team and some elders and deacons just scatter around the church, I pray you would give us courage just to come and ask for things for you, our Heavenly Father. And I pray you would be working and giving and blessing. Come, Holy Spirit, we worship you in your precious name.